Answers begins right now.
This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukeren. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. God has a plan for His church to be unified, grounded in truth, and equipped for ministry. Ephesians 4 shares how God provides gifted leaders to help believers grow and serve effectively. The last time we were together, Pat began part one of a message detailing Paul's letter to the church that deals specifically with a healthy church and what that looks like. If you've missed any part of this interview, log on at evidenceandanswers.org. And there you will find this sermon entitled Equipped to Serve, God's Design for the Church. And you'll find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's get right into the conclusion of this message. Here's our host, Pat.
Now in your Bibles, it says pastor, teacher. All right. Now some would say that's the same person, pastor, teacher. Okay, that's fine interpretation. I say that they're two different gifts. All right, and what's the difference? Well, there's a slight difference here. A pastor has to be able, elder has to be able to teach, but a teacher is not necessarily a gifted pastor. Okay, so there's a slight difference there. But those are gifted people that God gives to the church. Okay, that's His provision to the church. Now, your application is this. All right, here's some great books that I recommend you read. If you want to understand not only the gifted people, but this all the spiritual gifts that God gives. All right, Counterfeit Kingdom. I mean, that's a great book. It's an exciting book. Man, the way it's written, it's very well written. Anyway, that's a great one. A lot of times in understanding the truth, you have to understand false teaching. All right, because then you explain false teaching and present the truth. All right, that's the best way I learned, okay? The Holy Spirit by John Walvoord talks about the works of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and Your Divine Design by Chip Ingram, okay? Very good, solid Bible teacher teaching you. Every believer has a spiritual gift, okay? And he teaches you how to discover your divine design. But every Christian needs to know what their spiritual gifting is, to identify it. You all have one. You all have one, all right? And to use it to build God's church, God's people, and advance His kingdom here in this world. The Great Commission, we all play a part on it, not just the pastor. We all have a part in it. You just have to know what your part is, okay? It's like an orchestra. You ever saw a one-man orchestra? The conductor can play every instrument, but probably wouldn't be very good, huh? Got to have everyone knowing their part, equipped, trained, ready to go, doing their thing. And you got incredible music. So these are gifted people that God gives to the church. For what purpose? Well, He tells you in the next verse, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. These gifted people are given to the church for what purpose? So they do all the work? No, they're given to equip the saints, equip you, so that you can come alongside and serve and experience the joy of impacting lives for Christ and playing a wonderful part, making an eternal difference in the kingdom of God. That's why these gifted people are given to the church. Not so they come up here and they put on a show every Sunday. The main job of a pastor, teacher, evangelist is to equip God's people for the ministry. You guys are looking for a pastor. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for an equipper. Okay? That's what you're looking for. One of the biggest errors of thinking in the church is that the pastor, the professional clergy, okay, they do the work of the ministry, and we're called to stand aside and watch the show. And granted, a lot of pastors I run into love that. They love doing everything. I've worked with those pastors. It's ugly, man. They want to do everything from the bulletin to the worship to the teaching of all the small groups. I mean, they're out every night teaching every single small group. And I mean, they want to do everything. If there's someone sick in the hospital, it's me. Call me, man. Someone died, call me. All right? I mean, they want everything around them. Bad news. Okay, I've worked for those guys. Okay? No good. The job of the pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to feed his people the word of God, but it doesn't stop there. His job is to equip God's people so they can engage in ministry. All right? Now it says, pastors, teachers, evangelists, they're called to equip God's people for ministry, equip the saints for ministry. The word equip there has the idea of making someone adequate or sufficient for something or some particular purpose, okay? Equipping is different from growth. Growth level, come and learn the book of Matthew from me. Equipping is I'm giving you the knowledge and the skills to take part in the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, all right? So equipping is, come alongside, let me give you the skills of how to teach the book of Matthew. Let me show you how to do expository teaching, expository preaching, word studies, okay? How to put a message together and come teach the book with me, all right? And eventually, it's going to get to the point where I say, all right, you got it. I'm off to teach the next group, okay? And we expand God's kingdom. But that's why pastors, evangelists, teachers exist, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, the term for built up pictures a construction project, an erecting of a building or a structure. The church is built up when people come to know Christ. They are nurtured to maturity in the faith, but then it doesn't stop there. They are equipped with the knowledge and the skills to take part in the ministry and to go out there and engage the culture and world for Christ and make an impact in the world for Christ, to be a part of the Great Commission of making disciples to all the world. The Great Commission doesn't only apply to pastors. It's everyone. So the job of the leader is to equip the saints for ministry so that the body of Christ can be built up. Pastor can't do everything. We're to share in the building up of the body of Christ and the advancing of God's kingdom. One man can't do it all right? If we say, hey, I see a lot of homeless here. We need a homeless ministry. Pastor Ted. Oh, hey, we don't have an Awanas program. Pastor Ted, go on. Hey, you know what? We need a couple Bible studies here for young couples. Pastor Ted, all right, go. Hey, we need, we got people in the hospital. We need hospital visits. Pastor Ted, go. Hey, we got people in elder care home. Pastor Ted, go. Hey, we need apologetics, man. There's cult groups running around. Pastor Ted, you're going to have a burned out pastor. Oh, you're going to have a pastor doing 20 things very poorly. I mean, many of you need to discover your gifting and calling and be a part of that ministry. I mean, if someone's in the hospital, you probably don't want to call me. I do it. I mean, I'm in the hospitals all the time, but I'm not very good at it. Mr. Rodriguez, he's good at it. He's there at the Arcadia Care Home over there every week doing that stuff. He loves it. It's his passion, all right? He does way better than me. Glad he's out there. I remember I was at a church and a group of homeless people there attending my Bible study. I went up to him afterwards and I said, hey, I was talking to him. I said, hey, they were talking to me about why they're poor and all this. And I said, oh, it's not God's fault you're poor. Go get a job. And they were like, you got to shower up and clean up. Well, I don't have a shower. I live in a car. And I said, hey, join 24-hour fitness, man. You get a workout. You get a free shower. Man, I'll pay for your first 3 months. And then one of the pastors pulled me aside and said, Pat, stay in apologetics. Stay in apologetics. And he's right. Okay, I'm not very good at that. They've got great people with a passion for that. I'm glad they're on it. We got women here need counseling. Wouldn't it be great, as Timothy says, older women teach the younger women to love and respect their husbands? You know, teach them what it means to be a wife, to be a mom. Older men are mentor younger men. What does it mean to be a father? What's it mean to be a good husband? Okay? You don't see people lining up out of my office to get counseling. Why? I'm not very good at it. Okay, I can tell you what the Bible says, but I mean, the nuances of what's womanhood all about, well, I don't know, kind of thing. Wouldn't it be great? We had a team of trained and equipped women who would counsel, and I say, I got someone Let's set up coffee time. I'll introduce you to her, and then you guys are off and running. Wouldn't that be great? Well, we need them. We have them in here. You guys just got to get equipped, okay, and train ready for me. Some of you have a passion for prayer. Wouldn't it be great? We had a Moms in Prayer kind of ministry here that would meet early in the morning. Our preschool here, most of them not believers in Christ. Wouldn't it be great? You had a prayer ministry here praying for them, you know, being able to go up to them and say, hey, we got a Moms in Prayer or whatever, and they're praying for you. What can we pray for you about? Man, I tell you, it'd make an impact. Well, people at that church praying for me? Wow, you know, wouldn't that be great? Okay, somebody have a passion. That's a spiritual gift, gift of prayer. Wouldn't that be great? See, when people in the body of Christ are equipped and doing the ministry, it's a beautiful thing. And the body of Christ comes to life. Lives are impacted. The ministry is enhanced 100-fold when everyone is playing their part. The church functions like an orchestra. The conductor knows probably how to play every instrument, all right? And it's his job to train every player how to play their instrument. And eventually, the musicians will start focusing on their particular instrument, and they'll excel and surpass the conductor. But it's the conductor who brings them all together to perform, each player equipped and trained in their particular instrument, all right, performing, and you've got beautiful, irresistible music. Just like a football team, each player knows their assignment. They've been equipped and trained, and they know what to do to block. How do you run block? How do you pass block? How do you rush from the edges? How do you plug up the inside? Okay, they know. Okay, their role and their position, and they're executing, and they're sacrificing for one another. They love one another. They don't care who gets the headlines. It's that, you know, the team accomplishes the mission. That's what a great and healthy kind of church looks like. So the life application, okay, is this. It's the responsibility of pastors and leaders to equip the body for ministry. So as you're looking for your pastor, that's the kind of person that you're looking for. You're looking for an equipper. But also, it's the responsibility of every believer in Christ to discover God's calling upon your life, how he has gifted you, your spiritual gifts, and not only grow in Christ, but get equipped. Get equipped, all right, to serve alongside your leaders in ministry. When the body is built up in faith, believers in Christ are equipped for ministry. What is the result? Well, you see it in the next verse. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the product, okay? That's the result. And he says here first, the unity of faith. Okay? Paul here refers to doctrinal unity that comes from solid biblical teaching. We're not only of one heart, we're of one mind. Love, love, love alone doesn't build unity. All right, you've got to be of one mind as well. Unified in our understanding of the Bible through solid biblical teaching. Truth and love go together. It's heart and mind. It's going to be tremendous chaos if people are coming in here teaching things that deviate from biblical doctrine. People are coming in here saying, everyone's got to speak in tongues, or you don't have the Holy Spirit. In fact, you might not even be saved. Okay, we got guys teaching that, and we got other guys saying, no, wait a minute, you know, hey, not everyone speaks in tongues, you know. Yes, they do, unless you speak. Oh, man, tremendous chaos going to break out here and division in the body. Okay? I've seen it in churches all over the world where people come in and say, I'm the apostle, and this is what you're supposed to do. Another guy says, no, I'm the apostle. This is what you're supposed to do. Just divisive kinds of things when deviant teaching comes in here. You get hyper-Calvinism. You get hyper-Arminianism. You get hyper-this, hyper-that. It's going to divide the body of Christ. That's why with solid biblical teaching, Paul says here, we have unity of the faith. Second, says knowledge of the Son. Knowledge here has a nuance of real or true knowledge. Okay? It's a very intensive form of the word here in the Greek. So Paul's not talking just about, you know, knowing Bible verses or knowing doctrine. He's talking about knowing the Son of God in a very intimate, very personal and mature way. So as we come to know Christ more deeply, we experience a closer unity with Christ and with one another. And then he says, till we reach maturity. He's not just talking about individuals becoming mature in Christ. He's talking about the entire body of believers together. Okay? The church coming to maturity in Christ, in our relationships with one another, in the way we love one another, how we work together for the cause of Christ, in doctrinal maturity and maturity in character. Immature leaders make an immature church. And you're going to see the church fighting and squabbling over all kinds of kooky things. Okay, color of the carpet. What kind of music we're playing? What kind of clothes? We should all wear shorts. No, you're going to wear Aloha shirts. Got to wear suits. You know, I mean, see them fighting over all these trivial kinds of things, right? That's what children do. My candy is bigger than you. You got more candy than me. Yeah. But once they mature, they know what's worth battling about and what's not, and they're able to work together much better. An immature church, you're going to find them all squabbling over all kinds of manini kind of things. A mature church, they're exemplifying the character and love of Christ here. And he says, until we all attain the fullness of Christ, the church in the world is Jesus Christ to the world. And when the church, when people are mature, when they are serving one another, building one another up, it reflects the love and the character of Christ to the world. It's just irresistible. When we're functioning as we should be, we radiate and reflect the character of Christ. That kind of church is irresistible. My wife works in the hospital, and she knows the good churches from the ones that maybe aren't that lively. How does she know? Because when someone's in the hospital, the people are there. The prayer team is there. A lot of times the pastors don't get there until after the prayer team and the small group leaders, okay, and their Sunday school teachers are there visiting those folks who are in the hospital. She can tell where the good churches are. And, you know, people in the hospital look at that and say, wow, look at someone. And she doesn't have any family in Hawaii, but wow, look at that. Look at all those people coming to visit her and build her up and encourage her. When I share Christ, people get interested. What's the next step? Bring them to church. Experience the love of Christ. If they come to church, everybody's fighting. Nobody likes each other. Nobody talks to each other. They're kind of like, okay, all right. You know, makes it pretty tough. But when they come to church and they say, wow, these people love one another. Look at that. They're serving one another. You got a ministry to the homeless. You got ministry to children. You got people going to care home. Wow, what is this place? I want to be a part of this. It's irresistible. But it doesn't come overnight. It comes as we follow God's design for his church. An army where everyone is equipped and trained and doing their part, all right? Even a tiny group of soldiers, okay? And they love and sacrifice for one another. Man, that's an unbeatable group. A winning football team. How do they get a winning culture? Well, it's because everyone knows their part. They love one another. They have mature coaches and team captains that can bring them together. They don't care who gets the credit. That's a winning culture, a winning football team. And that can happen here at Honolulu Christian Church. Wouldn't that be great? And I see it around the world. I just came back from a conference, a Korean conference, okay? They're in California. 400 teenagers, all right? 400 from 9 different churches. Okay, they've been doing this for almost 2 decades now. 9 different churches. I'll tell you what, man, these guys, I mean, you know, to have a conference the day after Christmas tells you, I mean, they don't mess around. Man, 7 a.m., they're up. They're praying together. 8 a.m. is breakfast, and then 9 a.m., I speak for 2 hours, man. I speak for 2 hours. And they're sitting on the floor, not sitting on chairs. This would be for 2 hours, all right? And after that, they worship and pray again, and then eat lunch, and then in the afternoon, they have their game time or whatever, and then dinner, and then our worship and prayer. Then I'm speaking again for like an hour and a half, and then it's worship and prayer time until like 11 p.m. But man, kids are coming to Christ. Young men and women are rededicating their lives to Christ. It's just growing. Kids can't stay away. Why? Well, you've got mature leaders who have been doing this for nearly two decades. All right? Each leader knows their assignment. They've been trained. They've been equipped. They know their mission. You can feel the love of Christ as they're building up one another here. Man, it's a camp that these young people just can't stay away from. And it's great. I mean, going there, it's great to see former campers 15 years ago. Now they're serving as the camp staff, impacting and transforming these young people's lives for Christ. It's a great and wonderful thing to see. And it can happen in the church. It can happen here. So our life application finally is this, okay? Grow in your faith. But it doesn't stop there at growth. You need to take the next step if you want to be mature in Christ. Get involved. Get equipped for ministry. Okay? Get equipped with the skills and the knowledge to fulfill God's calling upon your life. If there's no equipping program at your church, start one. Or go to a conference or go somewhere where you can get equipped to fulfill the calling that God has upon your life. And one of the exciting developments that your leaders have developed is we'll be starting in January for those who are in ministry or those who are ready to take that next step. You know, in January, we're going to be having an equipping class to start equipping you with the knowledge and the skills that you can effectively fulfill the mission that God has called you to. For those of you who aren't quite there yet, you're still growing in the faith, Pastor Ted is going to be doing a class. Because all your leaders will be in the equipping class, Pastor Ted will be doing a great class on what it means to be a disciple of Christ. It's going to be a really good one. So Sunday school is not going to stop. We're just having a special time of equipping your leaders. And Pastor Ted will be doing his class for those who want to grow in Christ. The majority, 90% of the churches out there don't have an equipping program for their people. HCC is starting one here, new page for the new year. And it's going to be great. So this church can be what God designed it to be, unified, mature, building up one another, reflecting the character of Christ, if we follow God's instructions laid out here in his word. So we're all called to grow in Christ, but we don't stop there, okay? We need to take the next step. Get equipped. Discover your call and your part in fulfilling the Great Commission. Then you'll become what Christ designed you to be, fully mature in Christ, having a part in the Great Commission, and this church will become what God has designed it to be, all right? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the provision and the gifts that you have given to this church. And we pray that we will be wise stewards and that each one here would grow in their faith and maturity in Christ, but they wouldn't want to stop there. They would want to get equipped to serve you and to serve one another, that the body of your body may be built up, that this church may impact Hawaii and the world for the kingdom of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our time today has come to a close. Be sure to join us again here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number there is 4830586, or email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit that subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Once again, log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a great place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.